Please stand if you are able. Today's scripture comes from Luke 17, 20 through 36.
Sorry.
Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go. Do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away. And likewise, anyone in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on the night there will be two in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together, one will be taken and the other left." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Beth. The good thing about a longer scripture is you get a shorter sermon, so... So don't be too upset. Well, look around my home or office and you'll find some things that are made by IKEA. IKEA is a Swedish furnishings company known for its massive stores and its novel way of selling its modern furniture. They're also known for their trademark Swedish meatballs. That was impertinent to the sermon, but I wanted to advertise it. The stores, they're laid out so that customers are channeled through two floors of showrooms in a maze of elaborate displays. As you wander through all of the room mock-ups, you get inspired about how you can transform your space and give new life to your room. With big ideas and with fresh motivation, you weave through the sales floor, down the stairs, and then you find and load the item yourself. IKEA is known how they make the customer do the work. They pack items tightly in these flat level boxes to save on shipping cost, and items come in a multitude of pieces for the customer to put together at home. IKEA assemblies can be a real test of a relationship. The IKEA showroom sets the dream before you. All of this can be yours today, this tight little spot. You can cram so much in it. Finally, the closet that you have can be arranged in no time. It's just that there's some assembly required. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is Jesus' ultimate dream for what the world can and should be. Like a walk through the IKEA showrooms, the vision is something that we can see and feel and experience, but it takes our participation to become a reality. Today we continue our walk through the Lord's Prayer, that which I think is God's big dream for us. As I mentioned last week, the Lord's Prayer is perhaps the most famous prayer in the world, at least for Christians. It's something that most of us learned at a very young age. We say it in happy times. We say it in stressful and sad times. We say it routinely in church. It's become etched in our memories. The Lord's Prayer is found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Scholars think that Luke wrote his version first, and then Matthew wrote his soon after with a little bit more elaboration. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and so there were probably several versions of the prayer that were circulating around before it was jotted down in the Gospels, translated into Greek. There's even a prayer in Jewish tradition that sounds a lot like the Lord's Prayer, meaning that Jesus probably learned a version of it when he was growing up, and then he taught it to his disciples. So it's pretty cool. Even Jesus, you know, might have even learned the Lord's Prayer that he taught. Matthew's version rolls off the tongue a little bit better. And the clarifications that he gave fit well with the witnesses of the Gospels. And so that's why it took off and got into the liturgies of the church. The Lord's Prayer seems to cover everything that Jesus thought was important for Christian life, and it should serve as a model for how we pray. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Oh, the kingdom of God. It's something that I mention almost every week, and it's something that Jesus mentioned more than anything else in his teachings. The only phrase, the phrase kingdom of God is unique to the New Testament, and it's found largely in the Gospels. Some, depending on the translation and the scholar, will say some 140 sometimes. The only thing close to it in the Old Testament is in 1 Chronicles, where it talks about the throne of the Lord. The Old Testament does use other kingly language for God's reign, but not the kingdom of God. The kingdom is a dominant theme in the Gospels, especially in Matthew, who frequently calls it himself the kingdom of heaven. Most scholars believe that Matthew, who wrote to a Jewish audience, didn't say the kingdom of God, because remember last week I talked about how Jewish folks, they were afraid to say God's name, and so they only spelled it without the vowels. Matthew did not want to overuse it. He wanted to honor God's name. Also, by the time of Jesus, the political situation in the Roman Empire made the phrase pop. Matthew worked for Rome as a tax collector, and honey, he knew how the sausage was made in the empires of the world. Matthew knew that worldly kingdoms brought about power and coercion. But the kingdom of heaven is about God's mercy, justice, and grace. The kingdom of God is a central part of the Gospels and the teachings of Jesus. But the only problem is that Jesus never took the time to really define it. Instead of an explanation, Jesus instead showed us multiple stories, parables, about what the kingdom of God could be like. For instance, he likes it to a mustard seed that starts real small and grows into a great big tree that's shelter for the birds of the air. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God as a seed growing on different types of soil. Remember that? And depending on the type of soil, it was effective or not. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast where the invited are refused to come and where the doors were flung wide open for the public, for anybody to be there. Jesus shows us that the kingdom of God is like, through his radical teachings on love and grace and his particular interest on welfare for the forgotten and the marginalized. So in the backdrop of the Roman Empire, Jesus in the Gospels paints a picture for us of a kingdom that is not a place with borders, but it's an experience. God is in charge in the kingdom of God. No kings. The kingdom of God has no borders. The kingdom of God is not for the rich and the powerful, but the poor and the powerless. In the kingdom of God, there's no corruption. There's justice and mercy. Jesus paints this picture of heaven on earth where the sick have the healing they need and where mental health demons are expunged. Imagine in your own mind what heaven is like. All of us have our own ideas of what that can be like. Really, there's really no definition of heaven, but all of us, if we went around the room, could probably give some pretty accurate ideas of what we think and feel it would be like. In heaven, Jesus paints this picture. In heaven, there's the presence of God. In our most of our ideas of heaven, there's community with others. There's no wants or desires. There's no sadness or pain or evil or sorrow. And when we see glimpses of these things, some would say, I would say, we see a bit of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God breaking through the mess and the chaos and the busyness of our lives. It's those God moments that we often talk about. Like a walk through the showrooms of IKEA, Jesus shows us again and again through the Gospels visions of this new creation. But now how this kingdom comes, that's a source of theological controversy. In the scripture we read earlier, that long one, this was the topic. Jesus taught us not to be fooled by others who think they've got God's plan all figured out. Have you seen or heard, you know, somebody that's got all figured out? And you hear sometimes they've got very elaborate maps, roadmaps about what the future is going to be like. Jesus does give us some clues, though. The kingdom of God comes suddenly. It takes the world by surprise. Some are swept up in it and some aren't. Some think Jesus was only talking about a future event after a series of catastrophes, like a rapture. Now, I do believe that Jesus will come again in final victory and that God will one day reign upon the earth. Jesus is very clear this is a future event. But he also uses the past tense in many cases, saying the kingdom of God has already been fulfilled. Theologians call this the already not yet, in that God's reign has been fulfilled in Jesus, and at the same time, God's work is not ultimately finished yet. Like a walk through the showrooms of IKEA, Jesus shows us this bigger picture all throughout the Gospels. A dream of a world that is transformed in love and obedience to God and his goodness. A kingdom of God isn't a place, it's a realm, it's an experience. Our scripture says one person sees it and the person right next to us does not. That happens all the time. Our scripture says one person may see it and others may not. In the kingdom of heaven, love and grace is the currency. Hope and transformation are the product. Jesus shows us what this world could be like, and sometimes we even feel it. When justice is brought to the poor and the marginalized, that's the kingdom. When goodness prevails, that's the kingdom of God. When love rules and forgiveness changes things, that's a glimpse of God and God's kingdom among us. Jesus has already brought it. He revealed and fulfilled it, but God is not finished yet. Empires are oppressive. People are mistreated and forgotten. Sin, like greed and evil, seem to abound. Fresh water and food is a luxury for many millions of people in this world. So no, the kingdom of God is not yet fulfilled. God has shown us and God shows us glimpses of it, how it can transform and renew us. And now we're called to help him build it piece by piece. God wants what is good. That's his will. And in the Lord's Prayer, we ask God that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what exactly is God's will? Now, many people think that everything that happens in this world is God's will. Many people will often say everything happens for a reason, but sometimes I think there are many things that God would never want such a terrible thing to happen. God, I don't believe God is responsible for every sorry thing that happens in this world. Most of the time, the fault is either ours or someone else's. I really feel it. God set a perfect example of the world in the Garden of Eden. And so things can be perfect. And I don't believe that all the evil that happens in this world is God's fault at all. I think, like I said many times, it's either our own or someone else's. That's the not yet part of the kingdom of God. Now, I certainly don't have a grasp on what God's will is for my life, let alone anybody else's. But I think I feel it has to do with doing the things of God and ushering in the kingdom piece by little piece. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we partner with God who has shown us what is good. Micah says to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. You see, this is another part of how our faith is not just personal, it's social. And I think the Lord's Prayer invites us to think about the world around us and ask, how does our world fall short of the kingdom of God? What would it look like if the world, if God's will was truly done on earth as it is in heaven? I wrote this sermon, I finished it up on Thursday, and we awoke Friday morning to news that that the United States was bombing Iran. Regardless of your feeling on the matter, I certainly don't have enough information to give a qualified analysis of it. I'm a theologian and a pastor. But what I do know is the witness of Scripture and the United Methodist Church says that war is incompatible with Christian teaching. And we certainly, avoid we certainly avoid it as any use of policy. And I'll read it. The church deplores war and all other forms of violent conflict and urges the peaceful settlement of all disputes. We yearn for the day where there will be no more war and people will live together in peace and justice. And we reject the use of war as an instrument of foreign policy, and we insist that every peaceful and diplomatic means of resolution be exhausted before armed conflicts start. At the same time, we support very wholeheartedly those who serve in the military, as well as those who work for peace and are conscientious objectors. I just wanted to share this with you. That, even in the midst of when Christ has come, we still live in this not yet. And Christ, who calls us to be in ministry for and with everybody who is afflicted in this broken world. And so that's the one thing that our church just urges us to do is work for justice for those who are affected by war and keep working for God's will to be done when hopefully one day and one day soon there will be no more war anymore. May God help us by working in and through us to bring about his reign on the earth. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we look upward. But we also look inward. Jesus has shown us the ultimate dream for what the world can be and what our lives could be and what our church can be. And we get to help build it. So if you don't like IKEA, this is going to be a challenge for you. But we get to help. We are called to usher in God's kingdom on earth. Truly, the kingdom is at hand, in our hands, by our hands. Let's serve Christ. That the will of God may be known on the earth. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have a will far greater than our own. Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives, in our church, and in our world, and amid the brokenness. Lord, help us to carry out your will of justice and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.